coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Oh, folks, we got a really good show for you this week. This week, coming up in segment two, we have got Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette, who is running for governor. He'll be speaking with us for about 15 minutes. That's going to be a great interview. We're going to learn all about his take on the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms, what he would do to advance your RKBA rights in the state of Michigan if he were to become governor. Then in segment three, we're going to speak with one of our favorites, Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel is always educational and entertaining, so he's just a good time, a good guy to talk to. So that'll be great. And then, of course, in segment four, as usual, I will tell you what I really think. All right, what is going on in my life? I am working my little tuchus off. Lots and lots of classes in the summertime. It's kind of an odd dynamic in the summer for me, because basically I work twice as hard to make the same amount of money. And basically what that is I've got all of these advanced classes that I do. Last week I taught three classes, and then this coming week I taught three classes. This weekend I only have one, so I'm taking a bit of a break. But basically what happens in the summertime is people dial everything down. They scale back. The weather is fantastic. They're going to graduations. They're going to weddings. They're going on family vacation. So they don't have time to actually learn how to protect their families, which is wrong. It should be a higher priority than that. However, that's the reality and the way that it is. And typically what will happen, things will ramp up again in September when kids go back to school, and they'll go great guns, no pun intended, all through the winter into the spring. And then again in June, things will fall back. June, July, August, not big training months for me. Although I teach probably three times the number of classes, it's right about the same amount of students. But I'm working really hard on that and having a good time. Had some really good classes the last 2 weeks. Garden is growing fantastic. I've got tomato plants that are 6 feet tall. You know, I've got butternut squash. It's like, you know, the squash plants that ate Grand Rapids. So that's going really, really well. Pretty soon we're going to be canning vegetables like crazy. I've got a third of my firewood in, and I need to have that all done by September before, you know, the deer hunting season starts, because October 1, it's opening day of bow season. I'm going to be out there with my crossbow, and I'm going to be putting the thump on Bambi. Well, Bambi's dad, actually. Bambi's mom. Going to fill the freezer. But hey, that's what's going on in my life. Let's get straight to the news now, because we got a couple of good articles here, and I want to break those down for you. Lots of shootings in the past week. Just lots and lots of things happening. We can't cover all of them. There's just not enough time. Seems like America just is going to hell in a handbasket, but maybe that's just me. All right, here's a story out of Las Vegas. You probably saw this one on the news. I'm at thetruthaboutguns.com. Las Vegas woman shoots abusive husband who threatened her with a gun. You know, just by the very title to that article, you know, you can ask the question, was she legally justified in using deadly force? And I go, hey, abusive husband threatened her with a gun. Hey, far away. But let's not be hasty. There are some characteristics of abusers that you sort of know they're probably going to violate that order, says Amber Batchelor, who represents a domestic violence-related nonprofit called SafeNest. She's right. Protective orders are usually violated, between 70 and 80% of the time. That is a huge number. You know, I would have guessed it was a lot, but not that it was 70 or 80% of the time. That's an eye-opener for me, and one that we should not take lightly. This is likely what happened in Las Vegas on Thursday afternoon around 2 p.m. The police already knew the victim, no surprise there, as they'd visited the home on domestic calls in the past. The woman had filed a restraining order against her husband. In Michigan, they'll call that a personal protection order, although it's not clear whether it had been served yet. The woman's estranged husband arrived outside the house and called her over to a shed in the backyard near an empty pool. Okay, that just raises hackles on my neck right now. I've got alarm bells going all over the place. We're talking, you know, danger, Will Robinson, orange alert. Why is he calling his estranged wife over there to a secluded area? But the woman, leaving her teenage daughter inside the house, good move, the woman complied. That's when her husband pulled a gun, and she responded by shooting him. I guess he didn't see that one coming. The woman called 911 immediately, good idea, to report that she had wounded her husband, and although he made it to the hospital, he died there. All right, so far so good. The woman and daughter are both unharmed. Hey, we got a happy story here. The daughter didn't witness the shooting, and the police are now investigating the incident as probable self-defense. You know, unless there's some, you know, facts that come out that we don't know about. Of course, we've got one side of the story, right? We've got her side of the story, and he's not going to be talking about his side of the story. So I'm guessing it's going to stay that way. And this is going to be ruled as a justifiable homicide here. Anytime a person is threatened, or if they are threatened with a firearm, that person does have the right to defend themselves, Lieutenant Ray Spencer said to reporters. This is one of four domestic homicides that occurred within the same week in Nevada. Big week in Nevada. In this case, the victim survived because she had the means to defend herself. All right, well, thank God that woman was armed. She obviously knew that he was a danger. She'd filed a restraining order, and she was a little suspicious, probably, and on high alert when he invited her over to the secluded spot. But you know what? The joke was on him because she was faster than he was. So, you know, sad story, but it did have about the happiest ending that you're going to get. Those restraining orders, the personal protection orders, they're not bulletproof. Plan on them being violated. I'll be talking about this more in segment four when I tell you what I really think, because I was speaking with a man this week who was in a situation quite similar to this. So we'll talk about more of that in segment four. Now let's go to another news story. This is out of Los Angeles, California. A dash cam shootout with the police. A store manager was killed by police fire, according to LAPD. Melita Corrado, a Trader Joe's assistant manager who died during a shootout Saturday, was killed by an officer's bullet, Los Angeles Police Chief Michael Moore said. Quote, I am truly sorry, Moore said at a news conference Tuesday. It is unimaginable, the pain of the Corrado family. We share the pain today. Police said the disastrous chain of events started when suspect Gene Evan Atkins shot his 76-year-old grandmother and kidnapped a 17-year-old female acquaintance. As Atkins fled in his grandmother's car, he fired shots out the back window toward pursuing officers. Authorities said the teen he kidnapped was shot in the head but survived. Well, that is good news, because 3 out of 4 headshots result in immediate incapacitation, I would imagine. She was in the back seat being kidnapped, and he was shooting in the back windshield, and boy, she got in the way, and he shot her in the head. Thank God she survived. Now, I watched the dash cam and the badge cam videos on this. This was quite a shootout. A lot of shots fired, like a 3 or 4 minute, high speed chase through heavy traffic before he crashed into the Trader Joe's, and it was sad to watch it. Officers did not fire at the gunman during the chase, but after Atkins crashed the car outside of Trader Joe's and continued shooting at police, officers returned fire, Moore said. As Atkins fled into the Trader Joe's, Corrado, that's the worker there, the assistant manager at the Trader Joe's, he was exiting the grocery store at the same time, police said. That's when Corrado was struck by LAPD fire. You know, when I'm watching the video on this, there were a lot of shots fired. And it looked to me from the camera angle that we had that they were long-distance shots. I mean, not 100 yards, certainly, but they were not easy shots to make. And boy, when cops get jacked up on adrenaline, just like you and I, we get jacked up on that adrenaline, our hands start to shake, and, you know, we're running, and then we got an escalated heart rate and escalated breathing, and then we try and make that precision shot, and it just doesn't happen the way that we want it to. And boy, I am not surprised that this happened. It was just a perfect storm that combined to get this poor assistant manager shot. I really don't blame the police for this, because what are they going to do? They've been in a high-speed chase. People have already been shot, and the bad guy shooting at them. So, I know a lot of people will come down on the cops for this, but what are they going to do? Let the guy go? Not shoot at him when they're shooting back, when he's shooting at them? That's not realistic. If they just let the guy go or didn't shoot at him, then, boy, all hell would break loose. Katie bar the door. Then you can't tell the bad guys that we're not going to shoot at you, we're not going to chase you, because then there's impunity. Then you've got, the Wild Wild West, Law of the Jungle takes over. So LAPD did what they had to do, but it's unfortunate that, collateral damage, and a poor man is dead. I put the blame on the bad guy here, not the police. After the fatal shooting, Atkins holed up in the store and kept those inside hostage. A 3-hour standoff ensued, including hours of negotiations before Atkins surrendered to the police. That's a shame. I mean, it's great that he surrendered, but I don't know. Now there's got to be a very costly, lengthy public trial, and it might have been better if he'd been shot and killed. Atkins now faces 30 charges, including 1 count of murder, 6 counts of attempted murder, including 4 counts of attempted murder against a police officer, 13 counts of false imprisonment of hostages, and 1 count of felony evading. I don't know what he's going to get in California. I'm not sure how the legal system is there, but hopefully he will be there for the rest of his life. Both his grandmother and the wounded teen are in critical condition from their gunshot wounds. Atkins is scheduled to be arraigned Tuesday. Bail is set at $9 million. $9 million is probably enough to keep him in jail. Oh, boy. Folks, sad, sad story. But that's the way it is, folks. That's the way these things go down. You know, when you know the police are coming, already been shots fired, and there are cops converging on your area, boy, get out of there. Get down low. Get behind cover. You know, show them your hands. You know, you don't want to be accidentally shot and killed or shot and wounded by a police officer trying to do his job. Do the best you can to stay out of their way. In this case, you know, the store manager, he thought he was doing the right thing. He was getting out of Dodge, which is a good idea. Just bad luck. Just really bad luck. Very sad. Okay, we are about out of time for this segment. When we come back in segment 2, we are going to have Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette. We're going to be talking to him for about 15 minutes, and Bill is going to tell us about his take on the Second Amendment. Is it an individual right? Is it the National Guard? What would he do about constitutional carry, pistol registration, the pistol-free zones. I'm going to ask him specifically those questions and get a straight answer from Bill Schuette, Attorney General for Michigan. He's running for Michigan governor. He's ahead in the polls right now. Primary's coming up August 7, just about 10 days from now. You're going to love this interview. I enjoyed it very much. It went fantastic. He's a very likable guy, very down to earth. So stay tuned. Don't go away because you're going to love this Bill Schuette interview. All right, we got a 2-minute break now. Go on and head out to our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and see how they can help you if you ever get involved in the criminal justice system. And then check out elitefirearms.us. Call Larry Jackson at 616-299-8715 and see how he can help you pick out the proper firearm for your family's defense. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. As promised, we are speaking with Attorney General Bill Schuette. Bill, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, Skip, it's great to be with you on the Home Defense Show, and been looking forward to this opportunity, and any guy from Martin, Michigan is going to be just fine with me, that's for sure.
That's right. We're just a bunch of Dutch farm boys over here.
I like folks in production agriculture. I like folks who have a strong, proud heritage, and we have that in so many ways in Michigan, and I like that dragway over in Martin, so this is good.
All right. Well, Bill, you know, I didn't get to meet you at the Second Amendment March at Lansing last month. I'm the founder of the march, but I was so busy. You were in and you were out, and I didn't get a chance to meet you, so I apologize. But I wanted to thank you for speaking at the state capitol at the Second Amendment March. That was a big deal to us, and I appreciate it.
Well, you know, it was a lot of fun, great crowd, and it's so important that people step forward, step up, and talk about the Constitution, and these are individual rights. These are individual rights that each and every American has to own firearms if he or she wishes, for protection, defense of your family and your home, and for sporting, hunting, and collection, and all the rest. But that was an important morning. I'm sorry we missed each other, but I'm sure where are you? So I'm. That's why I'm delighted for your leadership on the Second Amendment rally last month.
Hey, now, Bill, can you just spend about 30 seconds? You know, you're running for governor here. Primary's coming up real soon. Go ahead and tell people just a little bit of your background.
You bet. I'm born and raised in Midland, Michigan, a little town of 40,000 people or so. My grandfather was a shop teacher. My grandmother was an elementary school teacher. My mom and dad were high school sweethearts and moved to Midland and planted their flag, so to speak, raised their family. My dad was an up-and-comer in business, but he died of a heart attack when he was just 47. I was a boy of six. My mom was tough and resilient, raised my two older sisters and me. And my passion is service. I learned a lot about values of, you know, family, significance of faith, you know, importance of giving back in your community, and about hard work. I was the head potato boy at Ponderosa Steakhouse growing up, in a yard boy, and I've been in public service now, and that's my passion, and I'm working hard to earn the privilege of serving as Michigan's governor.
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't met, you know, personally, but Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan, he swears by you. And according to Joel Fulton, you are the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that's saying a lot.
Well, Joel's a great guy, and he and I share this similar value about the significance of the Second Amendment. You know, I'm an NRA guy. Our son and I go hunting. And along with some buddies of mine up in Midland. And Joel has been a great advisor to me, and even more important, significantly beyond that, is he's a great friend. And if I'm sliced bread, I got to tell you, Fulton and I are like peanut butter and jelly, which is my favorite sandwich.
Okay, that's great. Well, you know, Bill, we only have, you know, just like 10 minutes, so I want to get right into the heart of the issue. I want to talk to you about the things that, you know, Michigan gun owners, you know, it's on their mind, especially concealed carry holders, because I'm a concealed carry instructor, have been for 20 years. And I guess the first question that I want to talk about is, I want to talk about the pistol-free zones. You know, personally, I don't like them. I don't think they work. I think they're counterproductive, maybe even dangerous, but I don't want to buy a shoe. How do you feel about pistol-free zones? What's your plan for those, you know, when you become governor?
Well, thank you. I'm going to work hard to earn the endorsement and the votes of people across the state. And just as an aside, I'm the only person to receive an A-plus from the NRA in terms of their endorsement and A-plus endorsement. I really appreciate it. And I think what we've seen in our state is kind of somewhat of a patchwork quilt. There's some inconsistencies within whether it's pistol-free zones or pistol registration and constitutional carry and all of those issues that sometimes overlap. And I think what we need to do in Michigan is have consistency. These pistol-free zones, you know, where you can you can open, if you have a CPL, you can open carry, but you can't carry concealed, gets a little clunky, so to speak. And from my standpoint, this is ought to be a property ownership decision. To me, that's the big significance. And, you know, there's certain schools. We've seen the problems, Skip, in other states where they've seen some tragic situations. I think that in schools, and be very careful with my language here, in schools with properly trained, not every teacher, but certain teachers who are properly trained ought to be able to have their firearm in school for protection of everybody who's inside it.
So when you talk about specific legislation that will come across your desk, what kind of legislation would you sign? For example, would you sign, I think it's Senate Bill 584 right now, they talk about an enhanced CPL where you have 8 hours of advanced training. You could apply for an exemption from the pistol-free zones. Would you be willing to sign a bill like that, or would you want to tweak it? What's your opinion?
Well, what I'll do, you'll find that you'll find that bills that I'll sign as governor will be completely supportive of the Second Amendment, period. And to streamline issues, you know, there are 14 other states, for example, out there that have permitless carry in terms of constitutional carry. And from my standpoint, let's smooth out all the inconsistencies. And I'll be a governor who'll be on the floor, along with my lieutenant governor, on the floor, making sure that we have the Second Amendment emblazoned within laws of the statutes of Michigan, so that there are the freedom to carry and eliminate the hiccups and inconsistencies. We'll iron them out. I think the concept of that Senate bill that you mentioned you know, Mike Green and others who have been such leaders on this. I'll work with them so we get that bill to my desk, and then I'll sign it.
Oh, you know, I would really like that because, you know, one thing that I've learned that only roughly about 1% of concealed carry holders go on to get additional advanced training. Boy, I'd really like to get that up there, and I know that would help. And, you know, the pistol-free zones, we call them criminal empowerment zones. That's where the bad guys go. Right. They shoot as many good guys as they can, and it just makes sense to me. But
this is about individual rights, Skip, and the fact that these laws that supposedly try to make things safer, in essence, handcuff freedom of people, impair the Second Amendment. And it doesn't make us safer. You know, for us to have safer schools, safer communities, safer streets, you don't achieve that by weakening the Second Amendment. We should strengthen individual rights, strengthen safety measures. That will be consistent with the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Bill, if you're not careful here, you're going to end up with my endorsement. So careful how you answer these questions. You're doing great so far. All right. Let's talk about pistol registration here. You know, there aren't a lot of states that have all-out pistol registration. What's your opinion on pistol registration in the state of Michigan?
Yeah, you know, I think we ought to fix that because, you know, there are, again, these registration laws really, I think, put the hammer on Second Amendment rights and say you've, let's use this as a hypothetical. You might have some better ones because you're an expert on this, or Joel Fulton would as well. But let's just say that you had a family member who died who was a gun owner, gun collector, you know, could have been a pistol from World War II, or what it doesn't matter, you know, mm-hmm. where it comes from. But the point is that to require that registration when it's, you know, been sitting in your grandfather's, you know, box or, you know, safe, what have you. Now it's inherited because it's yours. To require that, we know that the bad guys aren't going to do that.
Right.
And again, I don't think you should, you know, put the hammer on law-abiding citizens who are, you know, minding their own business. And you know, productive members of society, and just you know, working hard. Want to make sure their kids either go to work from high school into the job market, or maybe they go to college, whatever it might be. They're trying to sit down and have their Tuesday night finance nights and making ends meet. Busting, you know, breaking any law.
Well, Bill, you'd be surprised how many because I do concealed carry. I mean, a couple thousand students a year. And I'll have people that I run across in my classes. I talk about pistol registration. One, they don't even know that it exists. And they've got this gun
right.
that their dad has given them or something. And they're going, oh, wow, I'm a criminal. I had no idea. How can I fix this now without being cited or arrested or something? And it's a bit of a problem. So, man, if we could get rid of
that. Oh, it is. Yeah, and that's what needs to be ironed out. I think here's the point, because maybe these people don't even, you know, shoot. Maybe they, you know, shoot skeet, or maybe they don't hunt, or maybe they don't do target practicing. But they're certainly not lawbreakers, for crying mm-hmm. out loud, or shouldn't be characterized as such.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, third, last, and here's the acid test here. Constitutional carry, in your mind, what is it, and should Michigan have it?
Well, you know, I think Michigan should have it, and people may want to phrase it different ways, and again, you and Joel Fulton and others maybe have greater expertise than I, or articulate it better, but it's really about permitless carry, so that you could carry open or concealed without a license is how I view it. 14 other states have that. And I think that ought to be Michigan's goal.
All right. So you, if you know that permitless carry bill, if it comes across your desk, you would be inclined to go ahead and sign that into law, then?
Yes, I would. And what we'll do, this is how we. But you know what? The real the significant thing we have to do is discussion on these issues, so that you kind of tear down the walls and the barriers and those who are worried about all of this. And it's about conversation. It's about discourse. What we need to do as citizens of this country is to make sure that we can have discourse and discussion about certain basic rights. And not that everyone might agree at first, or maybe they'll never agree. But we need to be we need to get better at being more persuasive. And the real judgment test, the acid test, is that we need to have these discussions on whether it's Second Amendment or any other issue. It ought to be based on the strength of our argument, how persuasive we are, not how loud we yell or how we shriek or what is the refrain or mantra. It ought to be about the solidity of our argument and how strong we are and persuasive. That is the judgment test for Americans and Michiganians as we go forward.
All right. Fantastic. You know, Bill, this is all sounding really, really good to me. But we're about out of time in this segment. So can you real quickly tell people how they can support you for governor? What do you need?
Well, here's what I need. I'm working hard every day. I'm ahead and the election day on August 7, but I need everybody's vote. I'm asking for Second Amendment supporters and the right to carry arms and the law-abiding citizens to protect their families and their property and their possession, the individual rights that we have under the Second Amendment. I need all those votes to come out and vote for Bill Schuette for governor on August 7th. That's the most important thing. And talk to your family members. We can be ambassadors for the Second Amendment here in Michigan on August 7th.
I'm glad I finally got to talk to you. It's been a great conversation, and I know all my listeners are going to eat this up. So, Bill, good luck in the upcoming primaries and the general election beyond that. Thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Well, it's great to be on Home Defense. Skip, thank you very much.
All right. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We're going to have a two-minute break here. Check out our sponsors. Then we're going to be right back. We're going to give you the wrap-up. This is the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. That was a great segment with Attorney General Bill Schuette. I was surprised, and I was very interested. So I wanted to talk about Bill Schuette a little bit more from a different perspective. So I have on the line my good friend and fellow instructor, Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel, welcome back to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, Skip, it's great to be back. How you doing?
I'm doing great. The sun is shining. It's not deathly hot. And, boy, I just finished off a mocha frappuccino, and that's the last one I'm going to have today because I am getting fat. So, too much information.
Yeah, tell everybody, hey, don't bring me that kind of stuff here to work because you're going to make me fat.
That's right. That's exactly right. The struggle we all deal with. You know, Joel, I know you have a history with Bill Schuette, and I mean that in the positive sense. You've known him for how long?
Well, since he first started running for Attorney General is when I first encountered him and met him. I had already developed a relationship with the Attorney General's office under Mike Cox. And during that time period, I had started working on issues of reciprocity on a volunteer basis and was allowed to do that under Mike Cox. When I met Bill Schuette, I introduced myself and explained my experience there. And Bill, after he became Attorney General, chose to continue that tradition. So I kept working with the Attorney General's office on firearms issues and have done that ever since. And I suspect that as we move through this process, that's going to continue with the next Attorney General, which I expect to be Tom Leonard.
Okay. All right. And so you're endorsing Tom Leonard. Is that official?
Absolutely. And just in full disclosure, I am the county campaign chair for both of those campaigns, Bill Schuette for governor, as well as Tom Leonard for Attorney General.
All right. Okay, now, Joel, to get back to the reciprocity there, how far was it advanced under Bill Schuette?
Bill Schuette probably advanced it by another probably 10 to 12 states.
Hmm.
We had already gained quite a few under Mike Cox. I'd worked pretty diligently on that. But there were some tough ones that really were difficult to get. Maine is one that jumps to the top of my mind. I worked on that for 6 years. To get wow. Maine to finally come on board and give us reciprocity.
Yeah. That's probably Stephen King's fault. He's anti-gun, and I know he's from Maine.
It could be, yeah.
But anyways.
Oh, the horror.
Oh, yes, for sure. All right. Joel, you haven't heard the interview yet, obviously.
I have not.
I had a good 15 minutes with Mr. Schuette. And, you know, I got to tell you, here's what I expected going into the interview. I'd never met him before, never spoken with him before. All I knew about him was what you had told me and what I'd heard on the news. I expected someone very formal, very professional, but not personal at all. And I was really surprised because, you know, I'm talking to this guy and it's like, you know, he seems like my neighbor, a guy down the block. You know, certainly he is professional, knowledgeable, you know, all of those things. But I was surprised at how informal he was. And that's probably in keeping with what you know about him.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he's got a book that he wrote, and I've read that book. He sent me a personal copy. He actually sent me a hardcover copy, sent me a personal copy. One of the things that he emphasized that's always been his experience is the importance of thank you notes and appreciation for folks when they do something for you. I actually sent him a thank you note back for the book, and I don't know if I've ever done that for you, but I actually write in cursive backward. It's a weird talent. It's an old parlor trick that my grandmother taught to me. So I got a card that you couldn't see through and wrote the entire card in cursive backward, my thank you note to him. Took him 3 days to figure it out, and finally one of his assistants there in the office said, "Why don't you go hold that thing up to a mirror?" And when he held it up to a mirror, then he could read it. And that ended up posted on a bulletin board there at the office for like 3 months. But in the course of that book, one of the things that he learned early on, he had started campaigning in one of his first campaigns that he did and for Congress, and he had a get together and he had this meet and greet at this coffee shop, and really nobody really showed up, right? Because I mean, who's Bill Schuette? Nobody knew at that point in time,
right? Yeah.
So nobody really showed up for it, and he talked to one of the waitresses. He said, hey, I see it's real busy in here, and, you know, I had this event kind of thing here, but nobody showed up. He said, do you mind if I help you and pour coffee and just be able to go out and meet the folks that are here? She goes, that'd be fantastic. And so he did. He went around and filled people's coffee cups up, and as he did it, he, you know, got to know folks and met them and that sort of thing. And he said, that was an important lesson for me. He said, I learned that the way that you figure out what people need, what people want, what people's dreams and hopes and desires are, he said, it's through service. He said, when you serve other people, and that's in keeping, I think, with our religious beliefs that you and I both hold. Jesus Christ told us that if you would be the greatest among you, make sure that you serve, be the least. Yeah. You know, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And I think Bill has those same beliefs and those same kind of principles in his life.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you want to wash my feet. I've got some kind of a fungus they haven't identified yet. But anyway, if you want to, Joel, you
let me
know. All I
know is if your wife ain't touching your feet, neither am I.
All right, good enough. Well, you know, that is a good story. I didn't know he'd written the book. What is the name of the book?
You know, I'd have to look it up again because it just escaped my mind, and I knew that was going to happen. As soon as I got
Well, you know what? Probably if we just do a search on Amazon for Bill Schuette, it'll probably pop right up there. Now, how do you spell his last name?
S-C-H-U-E-T-T-E.
That's good, because that's how I've been spelling it. So that's good to know. You know, when I was on the line with Bill, we talked about three things. I asked him about pistol registration, about permitless carry, constitutional carry, and then also about the pistol free zones. And boy, we got halfway through that interview, and I said, you know, Bill, if you're not careful, you're going to end up getting my endorsement. So you should be very careful how you answer these questions. And the guy's got a sense of humor. He's very down to earth. He knows the issues. And here's one of the things that impressed me. A lot of politicians, you ask them a question and they talk for 10 minutes and then you scratch your head and they go, I don't think he answered my question. Bill Schuette wasn't like that. Sometimes, you know, getting an answer from a politician is like trying to drive a penny nail through a garden slug. You know, they're very slippery and the nail just slips off. But with Bill, I go, hey, you know, do you support, you know, pistol registration? He says, no, we need to get rid of that thing. Constitutional carry, says, oh, yeah, we got to fix that. We need to get that passed. And pistol free zones, yeah, those are killing people. We need to get rid of those. It was very refreshing to have someone actually answer my questions directly and then expand on them.
Yeah. Bill's a pretty direct guy. And, you know, I think that comes from the fact that, you know, right now, understand, he manages a huge department. Mm-hmm. He's got somewhere around 350 to 400 lawyers that work underneath him in the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
That is a very large organization to manage, which means his time is precious. Which means he's got to be direct about things. He's going to tell you what needs to be done, what has to get done, and he expects you, you know, he's going to follow up on it, but this is what I got to get done. And now I've got to move to the next thing because I got to get that taken care of.
Yeah.
So anybody that's managing that size of an organization understands time management, and especially while he's trying to campaign as well. Look, he's going to be direct, give you what you need, and let's move through this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hey, I got to tell you, Joel, I was impressed, and boy, we got a primary coming up, what, on August 7th, so everyone has to have their mind made up by August 7th. Why should they vote for Bill Schuette as opposed to, you know, a Pat Kolbeck or a Brian Kelly, you know, who are also pro-Second Amendment? What's the difference?
A lot of it, I'm going to be honest with you, is going to boil down to exactly what I just referenced, and that's Bill's ability to organize, Bill's ability to get it done and win. Winability, and I don't always like voting on winability alone, but when all other things are equal, that becomes an issue that you have to look at. And Bill has got the juice to get it done. He's got the ability to get it done. He has the organization. He's got the depth of organization to make this happen. We are going to have some of the most far-left Democratic candidates that we have ever had for governor in this state.
Yeah.
And it would be an absolute tragedy if any one of them won. So we have got to have a candidate that is the absolute strongest candidate that we can offer. Given that Bill and the other positions are almost equal, we've got to look at winnability. And Bill's got the ability to get that done.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can certainly believe that. He's winning the primary. I mean, he's up by, 20 points, and he was as far ahead as 29 points earlier, so it's starting to close a little bit. But, you know, if he can win the primary, which it looks like he will, what are his chances against one of these far-left Democrats?
Well, I've encouraged all of my Democrat friends to vote for either El Saeed or for Sri Thanadar. I would like them to vote for either one of those two.
Okay. That's who you want Bill to run against.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's your projection?
Who's going to be Gretchen?
It's going to be Gretchen. Okay.
Now, I don't know. It is absolutely nutty crazy on the Democrat side right now.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to win that. And if anybody's got any kind of common sense on the ground level, I think you end up with Gretchen Whitmer. But that being said, that's overwhelming. There are candidates that are just spending buco amounts of money on the Democrat side on advertising. And let's face it, marketing plays a difference.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because a lot of people are so disengaged that they're lucky to even know the names of the people running.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, we're coming up on August 7th. After that, we'll see who we throw our money into and our hat into the ring. You are saying, hey, go Bill Schuette all the way. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So we will find out August 7th. Joel, we're out of time here, but
for Attorney General, if you're a delegate and you're going to convention, Tom Leonard. And of course, I've got my other choices, which I'll, out of respect, keep to myself as far as like the 19th District State Senate seat.
Okay. Well, you can announce that
unless you want me to.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. I'm all for Dr. John Bison in the 19th District State Senate seat. Solidly pro-gun. In fact, he just got through submitting another question to the Attorney General's office for me in relation to handgun registration. So Dr. John Bison's always been a friend and a pro-Second Amendment guy. So I'm excited to see him take over Mike Knopf's seat for the 19th District.
All right, Dr. John Bison.
John Bison.
How do you spell that last name so people know?
B-I-Z-O-N.
B-I-Z-O-N, okay. That was so simple, even Joel Fulton could do that. So that's good. Joel, before you go, tell people how can they get a hold of Joel Fulton at Freedom Firearms.
Oh, yeah, you can get a hold of us at 269-968-4CCW. That's 269-968-4229. You can find us right here at the address. Stop in and say hi, 539 Capitol Avenue Southwest in Battle Creek. Or you can find us on the web at www.freedomfirearms.biz. That's freedomfirearms.biz.
All right. Joel, this has been a really good segment. You've added a lot of information and your personal experience, which weighs heavily with me. So, Joel, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Hey, my pleasure as always, and thanks for calling. We'll see you, Skip.
All righty. Okay, folks, we got a two-minute break here. Then we're going to come up with segment four, where I always tell you what I really, really think. Between now and then, check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, then elitefirearms.us. And when we come back, I will tell you what I really think. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coryell.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coryell, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coryell from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Lead out, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, during a road trip, a Texas man and his wife received an unpleasant late-night visit to their hotel room in the town of Hot Springs, Arkansas. The couple heard someone banging on their door in the overnight hours. Not knowing who it could be, the man armed himself with his firearm before he entered the door. One assailant struck the man in the face as soon as he opened the door, causing the Texan to fall backward into the room. The three men and a woman then forced their way into the room. The armed citizen responded by firing at the man who hit him and at a second assailant, hitting each of them and scaring off the others. The four were later apprehended. The suspects told the police officer that they were retaliating against the couple for suspected burglary of their rooms a few days prior.
Well, thanks, Colonel. Before we get too far into this, let's first establish the general rule that you should never open the door of your house, much less to your hotel room, to a stranger or anyone else you distrust. Here's the problem. Most of us are good people, so we don't want to be rude, and we prefer to welcome people into our home and extend hospitality to them. But we need to be aware that bad guys are not like us, and they will use our own good nature as a tactical weapon against us. Once they get inside our home, we are at a disadvantage and our life is in danger. Let's talk about Castle Doctrine now. Castle Doctrine is not a hunting license that allows you to roam through your house looking for bad guys and shooting them on sight. Castle Doctrine laws instruct the courts that they must assume that anyone who breaks into your house while you are inside is there to cause you harm. But you still need to protect yourself legally as well as physically. And you also need to be aware that not all states have a Castle Doctrine law. In general, Castle Doctrine pertains to the place where you are living at the time, whether it's a tent or a motel room or even a recreational vehicle. I highly recommend that you establish that you are a reluctant participant in the deadly force encounter. Don't go searching for the bad guy. If you can safely retreat to a defensive position, you should do so. Give yourself a tactical advantage in a place you can easily defend while calling the police. Try to end the situation without using deadly force if you can safely do so. As always, consult with a legal professional in your jurisdiction to find out the most up-to-date and accurate laws in your state. Only then can you be confident that you're on firm legal ground to use deadly force when protecting yourself and the ones you love.
Thanks, Skip.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coryell. Here we are in segment four already. Been a good show, folks. I love that Bill Schutte. I love that Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. When I think about it, hard and long, I just might vote for Bill Schutte. I mean, sure, I can't spell his last name, but I can probably recognize it on a ballot. I like Pat Kolbeck. I like Brian Kelly. I like all three of the guys. But Joel Fulton makes a good point. Maybe Bill Schutte is the one who's most electable. I'm going to think about it over the next week, over the next 10 days, and on August 7th, I will make my decision, if not before. I think any three of those candidates would be great governors. The question is, which one can win against a Democrat who is so highly financed? So, that's a valid consideration, electability. Can they win? So, thank you, Bill Schuette, for being on the show. Thank you, Joel Fulton, for your insight. Now we've arrived to the point in this show, segment four, where I tell you what I really think. So here we go. I did something strange last week that I haven't done since I was a kid. I worked for less than minimum wage. Let me explain that. I had a man call me a few weeks ago and asked me to set up a private concealed carry class during the day on a weekday. I typically don't do that. It just isn't worth the money to me. I think I've done it one other time, and I charged the guy like three times my regular price in the hopes that he'd just say no. But this time, the man didn't have much money, and he couldn't make my regular classes. I told him to call me the following week, hoping he'd lose interest and my problem would just go away. You see, I don't like telling people no. It's hard for me to do that. I even have trouble hanging up on telemarketers, although I'm getting better at it. So, a week went by, and the man called me again with the same request. I hemmed and hawed a bit, and then the strangest thing happened. I said, "Sure, when would you like to do it?" I heard myself say it, but had trouble believing my own ears. Was I really doing this? It wasn't worth my time from a financial point of view. When I added up all the time it takes, it comes out to very little money, and I have to be careful how I spend my time because, hey, I've got a wife and three kids to take care of. But for some bizarre reason, unknown to me, I told the man yes. So, we set up a time and date, and he showed up to the private class. When you spend 9 hours with a man, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, then you have no choice but to get to know them personally. And here's what I found out. This man was taking the class because a man was trying to kill him. Indeed, he'd already shot through the windows of his house, and verbal threats had been made. That changed my attitude, and all of a sudden, I didn't mind so much working for minimum wage, because really, when you think about it, us concealed carry instructors aren't supposed to be doing this job primarily for the money. We're supposed to be doing it because we care about our fellow man, and we want to teach men and women how to defend themselves against the bad guys out there. The fact that we get paid is appropriate, but we certainly shouldn't expect to get rich from it, because we are performing a public service that can actually save innocent lives. Remember the news story back in segment one about the woman in Las Vegas who was threatened at gunpoint by her ex-husband? Well, this man's story was similar. He was dating a divorced woman who was being stalked by her ex-husband, and now, by virtue of his new relationship with this woman, my student was also being stalked. The personal protection order was in place, but the ex-husband didn't seem to care or obey the court order. If you listen to segment one today, you now know that this is typical. Personal protection orders are just flimsy pieces of paper that do nothing to stop bullets. Approximately 75% of the time, those orders are violated, and the victim must be able to protect themselves with real hardware and not just porous words on paper. I have personal experience with this as well. While going through my own divorce, I was compelled to take out a personal protection order on my ex-wife. People think that women never beat their husbands, but that's just not true. In my case, I chose to hunker down and let her beat me, even though I was capable of fighting back and winning. In the end, all I received was a cracked rib. Here's the bottom line. When you let disturbed people into your life gets chaotic, maybe even crazy. Be very, very careful who you date, and especially who you choose for a lifelong mate, because lifelong doesn't always last for happily ever after. We got to the end of the concealed carry class with my student, and I told him I'd never done this before, and I really wasn't sure why I had agreed to it. But after knowing his story, I suddenly realized that I'd done the right thing, and I knew why I'd given him a private class. Something inside me had sensed, subconsciously, that he needed help more than my average CPL student. Call it extrasensory, call it divine, whatever works for you. But in the end, I am very glad that I taught this man, because he will, in all likelihood, have to deal with the psycho ex-husband from hell as long as he dates this woman, and if he marries her, it will most likely get worse. I spent extra time with him on the range, teaching him things I usually only go over in my advanced classes, but I don't regret it. He's going to need the extra training. When I look back on it, I think the only regret I have about the whole situation is this. I regret that I charged him anything at all. In all honesty, I should have taught this man for free, just to give him a fighting chance. And that, folks, is what I really think. Okay, folks. Hey, again, you can go to BillSchutte.com to check out all things about Bill Schutte running for governor, the Michigan Attorney General. You can check out Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan, on Capitol Avenue. Check out Joel Fulton. Also, check out our sponsors, FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical, and find out what Firearms Legal Protection can do for you and your family should you ever make a questionable call and have to shoot somebody. Check out Larry Jackson from ElitePhirearms.us. See what he can do to help your family choose the right firearm for them. And you know what? As long as you're online, go to Amazon.com and buy my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. Just search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. All right, next week on the Home Defense Show, we have got Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection. Terry is going to be talking to us about some of the recent gunfights that have been going on across the country. Citizens protecting themselves using deadly force. And we're going to talk about these specific cases. In this specific case, was the citizen right in using deadly force? And how would he protect them in a court of law? Going to be very interesting, and I think you guys are going to learn a lot from that. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!